Let's turn to Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Read a verse or two, and then we'll have a prayer, and then we'll get started. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Philippians 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's have a word of prayer. Hey, Father, thank you for this time we have this morning. We're always grateful for living in a country that we can gather together and preach the word openly without fear of someone banging down the door and saying, what are you doing in here, and taking us, arresting us, putting us in jail, persecuting us. We are very fortunate to have it that way at this point in time. May it be that way for a long time to come, as we so enjoy gathering together, preaching the Word of God, dividing it up the right way, and seeing these things grip our hearts and minds. And we pray that as this week comes, that we'd be able to take anything we learned this morning and apply it in our lives, and it'll be all to your glory. Pray this in your Son's precious name. Amen. I titled my message, Hearts and Minds, because as I was looking through some verses this week, that phrase really gripped my imagination, hearts and minds. Because I was looking at a lot of verses that talked about the heart, but then this verse has hearts and minds connected. So I want to see how that plays out as we look at a bunch of verses. I want to start looking, though, at verses about the heart. And I did turn to 1 Samuel 16:7. When you think about the word heart, we had a dear saint years ago, Oscar Woodall, and I'm not sure how many of you got to meet Oscar, but he was an amazing witness for the gospel. He'd go into churches and knock on the door and say, can anybody in here tell me how to get to heaven? And he would love to almost tease them, but good-natured in a way, because oftentimes they wouldn't really have an answer, and he would quickly get to the cross and talk about how gospel, the grace of God, says that Christ died for your sins, buried, and rose again, and faith in the blood of Christ, that's what it takes to get to heaven. And but that would often confuse the people he was talking to. But when you talk about believing in the heart, he would talk about the word heart, and people would say, well, I've asked Jesus into my heart. And they said, well, did you ask him into your lungs too, and your kidneys, and your liver, and all that? And he was kind of teasing a little bit. I thought, well, point well taken, but the scripture does use the word heart in a very specific way. And I want to take a look at a few of those verses and how the grace of God can, peace of God can keep our hearts in mind. So take a look at 1 Samuel. I've got to get to myself. 1 Samuel 16:7. Let's take a look here. 1 Samuel 16:7. It's an interesting idea here about what God does when it comes to man's heart. 1 Samuel 16:7. The Lord said unto Samuel, he's talking about choosing a king for the nation of Israel. 1 Samuel 16:7. The Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. He's talking about Saul there, isn't it? For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh where? On the outward appearance, the Lord looketh on the heart. And oftentimes what he sees, he doesn't really like, does he? Take a look back at Genesis chapter 6. Lord sees what's in your heart. Can't hide anything from him. Don't bother trying. Most people think they're getting away with something. They're not. It's like Brother Hans said, nothing gets swept under the rug with the Lord, even things that go through your mind. Thought of foolishness is sin, the Bible says. We want to try to take the thoughts and hearts of our mind and focus them on God's grace. And we'll see that as we go along for our message. Genesis 6, verse 5. You know God has a heart too? I hadn't really noticed this verse. I've read through this a number of times, but I thought, wow, that's kind of interesting. Genesis 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of what? His heart was only evil continually. Look at verse 6. And it repented the Lord that he had made mad on the earth, and it grieved him where? At his heart. I've never noticed that idea that God has a heart too. So I've had a conversation with my children and with people from time to time, and there's a verse that says the Jeremiah 17, verse 9. Take a look at that. The idea of the heart. This is kind of an interesting take on the heart. Now, at that point in time, the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually, and it grieves God at his heart, and says, we're going to destroy man except for Noah and his family. Take a look at Jeremiah. This view of the heart is a very negative one. Hearing about Pastor Jordan, he had a meeting, a symposium, if you will, of a panel of people, and he was on this panel, and it was a panel of different faiths, shall we say, and then there's Brother Jordan representing Christianity, so there's Buddhism and Muslim, etc. And each one was given a chance to talk about their view of God and his relationship to man, and all of these other people that spoke had a positive view of man. At least there's a kernel of positivity there towards man. And Jordan said, took him about 30 seconds to sum up his position. He said, you know what? The Bible has a negative view of man and a positive view of God. Close it and says, I'm done. They're like, what? Yeah, it presents a positive view of God towards you in the cross. He talked about the cross at that point. To get them to see that there's, you know, this is the verse that reminds me of that in Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Good question, isn't it? And I used to kind of stop there and not look at the next verse, but here's the answer to that. I, the Lord, search the heart. So who can know what goes on in the heart? The Lord does. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So that's that idea that Pastor Jerome was trying to communicate. God, the Bible has a negative view towards what man has to offer God. It's got nothing to offer. Like he's in a lot of trouble, and God had to do something about that. But take a look at Ezekiel. Talk about the heart. Peace of God will keep your hearts and minds. How do we get to that point when this sort of negative image is set up of what can happen in your heart if you don't take the Word of God and make it what you think about all the time? Ezekiel 14, verse 3 through 7. Ezekiel 14. The heart can be a tool that God can use or that somebody else can use too. Take a look at this. Ezekiel 14, verse 3. Son of man, these men have set up their idols where? In their heart. You think about idolatry, and you usually think about groves, and the Old Testament talks about a lot of times groves are set up on hills, and they're going up on high places and burning incense, things like that. But where does it end up penetrating, really? It gets down into your heart, doesn't it? This is what his concern was at this point. They set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Verse 4. Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from your idols, and turn away your faces from all your abominations. For every one of the house of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me, and setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. So there's a real danger there, isn't there? Heart and mind. It can be so easily taken over if you don't set it on the Word of God and the grace of God. God's Word to you, whenever the time was during the Old Testament, you can get far afield. It doesn't take long for your heart to be separated. There are many years of my life where I just had no interest in the Word of God. I was saved, but I had just started walking the flesh, doing whatever, doing my own thing. I'm sure many of you have gone through that too. You think back, and what part did the Word of God have in my life? And you just slowly just gets crowded out by the cares of the world, other things you got going, busy, and you just start forgetting about the Word of God. And then when you start seeing the light that comes from the Word of God back in your heart, you think, what am I doing? What are we doing here? What direction am I going? You start focusing on the Word of God, and you realize, where you look at where you've gone, you're way far. And it's like, okay, you got to get back to where peace of God keeps your heart and mind. You start focusing on the Word of God and seeing who you are in Christ, your completeness in Christ. And you get back to where all that idolatry gets pushed out of your mind and heart, and you think, this is where we need to be, focusing on the Word of God. Look at Matthew 15 and Mark 7. Matthew 15, 19. Idolatry is a powerful pipeline for Satan to use to get his doctrine down in your heart. We make idols out of all kinds of things, don't we? Pastor Jordan preached a message once on why we love football. And the subtitle was idolatry. It was about idolatry. So, wow. Touche. Now, this week it's been the NBA Finals, or NBA Eastern Conference Finals. Stanley Cup. Oh, see? NBA what? I don't know what I'm talking about. But you can even make, out of sports, you can make an idol out of that if you're not careful. It's great to have fun and compete and have a good time, but it, for some people, can turn into idolatry, betting on it, all this craziness. And I was watching LeBron James. He's like the man these days. And he was chiding his team up, that's putting it nicely, chiding. And they showed a clip of it on TV, and they had to blank out his mouth because you could just read his lips. It's like, ooh, it wasn't polite what he was saying. Man, that, and we idolize that kind of stuff. It's like, these are just people. You don't want to idolize men. Enjoy it and have fun, but when it gets that crazy, that there's so much out of the abundance of the heart, the man speaks, right? That's in Luke chapter 6. Pastor John talked about that. This study out at Joe and Sue's, how what's in your heart, what comes out when you see all that coming out, it's like, why are we making such a big deal of this stuff? But in Matthew 15 and Mark 7, you see a similar passage in Mark 7. But Matthew 15, verse 19, talking about the heart here. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. And in Mark 7, there's a very similar phraseology there. So out of the heart can come a lot of evil and wicked things. But if you take a look at Luke chapter 8, that's not all that can come out of the heart. Our opening verse said, the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds. Grace of God is what God uses today to keep your hearts and minds. But look at Luke chapter 8, verse 4. Parable of the sower ends up focusing on the heart. Luke 8, verse 4, and when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it, and some fell upon a rock. And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said unto them, he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and take away the word out of what? Out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and they have these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And they which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. I think there's a parallel there with when you share the gospel, the grace of God with people. You get excited because they're actually listening. Someone's listening and not contradicting what you're saying. It's like, yeah. And you're sure they're going to get it. It's going to just take off in their life, blast up. Yes, they're going to be gospel, the grace of God everywhere. And you never really hear about it from them, or you talk to them about it again. It's like, what happened? You have visitors that come, and they come, they stay, and then they disappear. It's like, what happened? Well, it's very similar to this passage. Oftentimes when you share with people, you're planting and you're watering, but who gives the increase? God does, right? He looks on their heart. He knows what's going on. Maybe they're not ready. At least you planted and watered. I got to share with my dear sister. She's out visiting. She's a part of Urban Discovery Ministries in Virginia. She goes into inner city projects and preaches the gospel to kids and keep trying to present the gospel, the grace of God to her. You know, the idea that there we have a special dispensation here. And now she's not like that close. It's like you just got to keep preaching a little bit more. And I think somebody's going to go, oh, I get it now. And I used to kind of get discouraged. I thought, well, what's the hurry? You know, God's pretty patient. Romans 15 says, God is a God of patience. So I need to be patient too. That's where that patience is going to come from. Thinking, you know, he's waited 2,000 years now, all this time. Think about that. If he wasn't a God of patience, where would we be? Wouldn't be here right now, would you? 100 years after Paul's gone, all right, we're done with this now. Man, I wouldn't be here right now. We wouldn't be here talking about the gospel, the grace of God. Wouldn't have a chance to reach our hearts. Give us a chance to teach somebody else, like he says, teach someone to teach somebody else. We wouldn't have gotten a chance to be a part of that. So if he's that patient, I can be patient for a couple of years, a couple, whatever it takes for somebody to see it. If they don't see it, well, glory to God then. You're still going to preach it, aren't you? You're going to stop preaching just because somebody doesn't listen to what you have to say? No. You keep preaching. You don't stop. Take a look at 1 Corinthians 1. So out of the good, I think in verse 15 there in Matthew, or Luke 8, as you turn to 1 Corinthians, in Luke 8:15, he had said, make sure I get that verse right here. Luke 8:15. Keep going to 1 Corinthians. Yeah, so in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. So you get to 1 Corinthians and get Mark chapter 3 at the same time. 1 Corinthians 1 and Mark 3. Doesn't the Bible say that we walk by faith, not by sight? Well, think about, you know, you're in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17. You know, and people say, oh, if I saw it, I'd believe it. Now, that's not necessarily true. 1 Corinthians 1, 17. Let's see here. Jews require a sign. Let's see. 1:17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolishness the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Now, thinking about that verse, Jews require a sign there. If you look at Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3, Jews require a sign. But didn't Jesus say there's this generation is not going to get a sign, but what sign are they going to get? Sign of the prophet Jonas. What was his sign? What happened? He's gone for 3 days and came back. Because he did all kinds of signs and wonders. Did they believe him? Look at what results came from that. Mark chapter 3, verse 1. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand, and they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. They're not really interested in believing the sign, are they? They want to accuse him, try to catch him in a fault of some kind. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he said unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life or to kill? They held their peace. They didn't know how to answer that, did they? But when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of what? Hearts. He saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand, and he stretched it out. His hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth praising God, saying, "Your kingdom is nigh." Oh, no. Look at this. Heart. Talk about hardness of your heart. Of your heart. And straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. Here's the Messiah standing in their midst. Plain as can be, stretch your hand up. They should have fallen on their face and said, "Glory to God." Not. Instead of trying to destroy him. Wow. Talk about a hardened heart. Unbelievable. Take a look at Matthew 15. So this idea of peace of God keeping your hearts and minds, your heart can be hardened if you're not careful, can't it? If you just get away from the Word of God and just don't make it a priority in your life. I know the fact that you're here this morning means that it is a priority in your life. And it's something you study. You make it a goal to study it each and every day. That's what we call ourselves Berean Bible Ministry, is that we daily study these things. Don't let the cares of the world crowd the Word of God out of your heart, even for a day. Even for a minute. We talk about how it's a minute-by-minute thing. Matthew 15, verse 7. And there's a similar passage in Mark chapter 7 also. Matthew 15, verse 7. If you go back to verse 6. Honor not his father and mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their what? Heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. It's his issue of the heart, how I believe it's Corinthians, he says that, no, it's Romans, how, Romans 15, verse 4, take a look at that. Romans 15, verse 4, how the things that were written aforetime, Romans 15, 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, with through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. When I read verses like that, sometimes I think, how am I supposed to get comfort from that? All these guys just blowing it over and over and over again. Nation of Israel, disaster. Five cycles of chastisement. How am I supposed to get comfort from that? Well, what I begin to see is that this plan that God has, that He laid out from the foundation of the world, straight across there, the prophecy program, that He had another plan in place too, didn't he? And I think about the plan that he had in place from before the foundation of the world. The one that you and I are involved in. And we don't have to have Jesus standing here stretching people's hands out to believe. How do we walk? Walk by faith. All you need is that book in front of you. Open it up. Study it. Rightly divide it. Let it come for your hearts and minds. And the angels are watching going, they're just reading the book. And that's all it takes. I was like, yeah, I told you. Word of God is the most important thing in the whole universe right there. Words on the page. What saith the Scripture? It's not taking Satan's view. But has God said? Yea, have God said? And Paul says, what saith the Scripture? And that's what we do. We sit down, open this book up, divide it up, and we live our lives by that. That's amazing. We don't have to walk by sight. Walk by faith on the words on the page. And that's what takes you and guides your every step. That's the goal, isn't it? And that peace of God will keep your heart and your mind as you focus on God's Word. You won't have a hardened heart where when the Messiah comes and stands right in front of you and performs all these miracles, you go, I'm going to go kill you. What? Instead, your heart is tenderized by the Word of God, isn't it? Take the Word of God, and it just gets into your heart, and you realize what God has done for you, put Christ in you. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. You start thinking about it all the time. You walk out of here and you think about, oh man, how can I take what I've learned from God's Word this week and use it during the week and study a little bit each day? So all those things that happen in the Old Testament, you look and go, you know what? They do all that and it didn't really strike them as it should have, then I'm going to take the Word of God and let it strike my heart and tenderize my heart. Think about in 1 Thessalonians 5. You know, the thing about watching sports, too, going back to sports just a little bit. 1 Thessalonians 5. One of the things that's fun about sports is you don't know who's going to win. You kind of think you know who's going to win. Ah, the Heat are going to win, no problem, hands down. Well, not so sure. One game left. But that cool thing about the Scriptures, things that were written aforetime were written for our comfort. We might have hope. You know what? We got something coming down the road, too. Not only that which is in the past, but he lays out the end too, doesn't he? 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9. We've been talking about this a lot in Sunday school. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain what? Salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. You not only know what's happened in the past and how even in spite of all that, God had a plan from before the foundation world that we're involved in now. We see how it ends. It's nothing but glory, is it, folks? Salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And when you contemplate the future we have together, it should just comfort your hearts and minds, shouldn't it? Think about how the end is already played out. God sees it as already happening. We get to be patient for waiting for His Son from heaven. Patient, He talks about. Just waiting. It's all going to work out in the end. Everything we do during the course of our life can be the glory of God. Why not have it be that way? Divide the Scriptures up the right way. Let the Scriptures give you comfort and hope. And it'll bring glory to God. Be able to enjoy the path that you're on. Take a look at Romans 6. Took a look at a few verses in Romans here. And it was interesting to see how he constantly is complimenting the Romans on their approach that they took, their walk of faith. Look at Romans 6:17 and Romans 1. Romans 6:17, talking about the heart once again and how the peace of God can keep your hearts and minds. Well, it's not going to keep your hearts and minds unless you divide your Bible the right way. That's why we spend so much time talking about right division. When you realize you're not involved in that tribulation period, we talked about that in Sunday school, how there's what we call the rapture, gathering together to be with Him. It kind of calms your heart down. Just like it did the Thessalonians, they calm down. And look at Romans 6:17. 6:17. King James Bible all the way. Absolutely. Nothing less. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Look at Romans 1. Notice how he compliments them. But what is it he compliments them for? They obeyed from the heart. And notice the result of that, Romans 1:8. And I know that's the desire of us in this ministry as well, as we think about the impact you have, not only here in the heavenly places, but around the world. Look what he said about the Romans, Romans 1:8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith has spoken out throughout where? The whole world. Isn't that amazing? Think about our little ministry here, ministry in Chicago, etc., how as unknown yet well known. Isn't that our goal, to be well known so that people hear about the gospel? Not because we want to put ourselves on the stage. What's so special about that? It's not us, it's the gospel, the grace of God. That's what's important. That's what's special. That's what we want to preach to other people. That'll be featured in our lives. That's why you don't want to watch the news too much. They feature all kinds of bad news. They give you about 30 seconds of good news. Back to bad news. I watch that stuff. That's what's featured. That's what's promoted. We promote the gospel, the grace of God from this pulpit, the King James Bible from this pulpit, because we know that's what's going to establish your hearts when you go out there in the world and try to preach to other people. That's what we're preaching. Look at Romans 10, where you're taking a look at Romans 10, Romans 12.
Yeah, you know, this was written 2,000 years ago. And it says the whole world has heard this. The Mayans and the Aztecs started blood sacrifices.
Don't know. I know there's always going to be people are going to take the Word of God and somehow distort it and try to change it and make it their own. I'm sure that by doing blood sacrifice, they thought they were somehow making themselves better in the eyes of God. We know it nowadays. We're not under the law, are we? We're under grace. And that's what we keep going back to. Under grace. And you're only going to get a clear message of that in a King James Bible. That's what we keep focusing on. It's possible. It's possible. Take a look at Romans 10 and Romans 12. And when he talks about the things that are written aforetime are written for our learning, that we, through the comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope, he doesn't fail to remind the Romans in chapter 10 there, verses 1 through 4, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is they might be that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. He talks back there in Romans 3 about how, let me look at it here, Romans 3. I'm going to hold Romans 12. Romans 3. Romans 3:21, but now, Romans 3:20, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall be no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. That's that righteousness he's talking about there in Romans 10. They went about to establish their own righteousness, and God says, I got a much better plan. Take a look at this, gospel of the grace of God. Righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. And that's why it's important to have a King James Bible. Those verses will be changed to faith in Jesus Christ. We're talking about of Christ, aren't we? Isn't all about Him? Faith of Christ. Not our faithfulness, but His faithfulness. Unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, etc. So your heart, when it gets gripped by the gospel of the grace of God, you wonder how it could ever not be gripped. Don't you? But you know what? It's, I wish it was that easy. That's why you have to stay in a little bit every day and not get discouraged. Keep teaching other people who will teach others. Because the more you focus on, the more it will grip your heart. The less you focus on, the more the cares of the world grip your heart, you get starting separate. There gets to be a wedge in there. Idolatry can take its place in your heart. Don't let it happen to you. Take a look at Romans 12. Another verse talking about the heart. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Take a look at Romans 14. For as your mind, as you renew your mind, how often? Day by day. Sinks down into your heart, grips your heart. But keep the end in mind. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us, aren't we? More than conquerors. But think about the end. Romans 14, verse 10 through 12. Just reminding them. He's pointing out their faith being spoken of throughout the whole world. He doesn't want them to forget that there's a review, shall we say. Performance review. And we're all going to face that. It's not something to fear, it's something to be excited about. If you've walked and renewed your mind day by day, there's going to be missteps along the way, but focus on letting the gospel of grace grip your heart. And then those other things just become insignificant. Why would I waste my time on that anyways? I want to grow in the grace and knowledge of the gospel, the grace of God. Romans 14:10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God, so that every one of us shall give him account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore. Talk about how we're saved from the wrath to come, right? You want to look at the judgment seat of Christ as a positive thing. Wood, hay, and stubble, good, it's gone anyways. Gold, silver, precious stones. I want to focus on that, what the gospel of grace God can do to achieve that in your life. Look at Romans 15. This is amazing how he saw the Romans and how he encouraged them. He was encouraged by them and he in turn encouraged them. Look at Romans 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. You tell the Thessalonians you believe from the heart. Talking about the heart a lot this morning. Fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And notice what he says about them in verse 14. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another. Wow. Now that's what we want to be able to say about ourselves, don't we, Miss Assembly? I've been so encouraged by Shalee. She comes and we talked once. And she's like, you know, I've been praying for your kids. I'm like, what? And see, I've been praying for your kids until you were this big. I'm like, man, that is so encouraging. So I really appreciate that. That's just filled with all goodness. That's that idea there in verse, able to admonish each other, filled with all knowledge. That is so cool. So, you know, thank you for that. And I know that we all do that for each other, don't we? And you want to try to make that a constant thing. Pray without ceasing. Always just pray about yourself. Oh, dear God, give me this day. You know, you're going to make it no matter what. You are more than conquerors through Him, aren't you? So just forget about yourself a little bit and pray about somebody else. And you know what it does? He just causes you to relax. You go, man, thinking about so-and-so, praying for them. Go, you know, get your eyes off yourself a little bit. And I'm not saying don't balance your checkbook. You got to do all those things, you know. Pay your bills. I was praying for somebody. I forgot to pay my bill. Sorry. No, do the things that you got to do. But think about, you know, just relax a little bit and let the grace of God keep and the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Think about your brothers and sisters in the Lord and how you can pray for them. I know we pray for our kids a lot. I was thinking about something that happened to my daughter Amanda. She's in public school, for better or worse. But, you know, she had a chance to say some things in class a couple weeks ago. They were reading the book, Blessed Meal Team. It's got some religious imagery in there, and the teacher's a Christian, so he was talking about some of the religious imagery there. And I was asking about things about religion. And she said, my daughter Amanda said she was amazed at some of the things that even the Christian, you know, quote-unquote Christian kids were saying, and how pessimistic they sounded about, yeah, if there really was a God, why do all these negative things happen in the world? And she's like, excuse me? And one girl said, I'm not a believer. So I think when I'm dead, I'm just going to be chilling to my grave. Well, you got the temperature wrong first. I didn't know how it works. And they think we sound foolish. You hear that stuff? And you're like, no wonder the preaching of the cross is to them that perish what? Foolishness. But it pleased God through the foolishness of the preaching that's how He'd save us. They think we sound foolish. Wow. I guess it does sound foolish if you don't understand these things. But wouldn't you rather be a fool for Christ than a fool like that? I mean, that's unreal. And that's always our hope, that what we say will plant a seed, water, maybe people will figure it out. Because when Christ said the path to destruction is wide, and how many go in? Many. How many that find the road of life? Very few. Same thing, I'm afraid, same dispensation of grace of God. Don't let that stop you. Don't let that discourage you from getting out there and preaching the Word of God. Right of dividing it, preaching it with passion. Look at Romans 16. Again, with continuing his theme of how they'd taken the gospel of the grace of God and really focused on it and used it to guide their hearts and minds, and every step they took, they would focus on the word of grace of God. Look at Romans 16, verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive what? Hearts of the simple. We've talked about the peace of God keeping your hearts and minds. Your heart can be deceived if you're not careful by good words and fair speeches. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would not have you wise unto that which is good. I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. You spend all day studying about all the things that are wrong with this earth. Look at the news. All that's wrong. But you know what? Forget all that stuff. It's just present evil world, isn't it? But think about the gospel of grace, God. Let the peace of God keep your heart and mind through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can't go wrong with that. Take a look at 1 Thessalonians 2:13, one of our favorite verses. And I believe the Scripture can keep your hearts and minds. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. That reminds me of what he said to the Romans, how he was so proud of how they had taken the Word of God, received it, believed that it was spread across the whole world. Those Romans, watch them go, yeah, I'm going to be like them. Similar feeling for the Thessalonians there. Take a look at Titus 2. You take the Word of God and you store it in your heart and let it comfort your hearts and minds, and you can bear fruit that's acceptable to God. Take a look at Titus 2 and Titus 3. Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared unto all. Let's see, 2:11. For the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And in Titus 3, verse 3 through 8, down through there, he talks about speaking evil of no man, talks about how foolish we were, disobedient in verse 3. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to what? His mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. So as you concentrate and focus on the gospel, the grace of God, and what it can do to calm your hearts and minds and give you peace and joy, and you want to share that with other people, just do it with a patient heart. Patience and comfort the Scriptures might have hope. That's the hope of eternal life, isn't it? It's not only hope for now is, but for life which is to come. If we only believe in Christ for what we get now, no thanks. But think about how, if that were the case, we'd be the most miserable. But we get not only now, but then too. You get peace, isn't that great? It is a good thing, isn't it? But how silly if we were wrong. Because the Scripture confirms that we're right. I can think, you know what? I can bring glory to God now and on out in the future, eternal life. I'm not going to be chilling in my grave. No way. Be out there with Him in the heavenly places, enjoying, sharing, glorifying Him forever. Let's take a look at a couple more verses and then we'll wrap it up. Take a look at 2 Kings 22 and Ephesians 3, and then we'll wrap it up. 2 Kings 22. It's an interesting passage where we talk about the Word of God and how you want to study it a little bit every day. Day by day, renew your mind day by day. 2 Kings 22, verse 8 through 20, a passage here which I'll take a look at during the week if you like, but just very quickly get on through it. 2 Kings 22, verse 8, and Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, thy servant have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work, that they have oversight of the house of the Lord. Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has delivered me a book. Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the law, book of the law, that he rent his clothes. Why did he get so upset? Read down to the past and you'll see, oh man, we are so off track. These are the people in charge. Had no idea it was in the book of the law. When they read it, they're like, we're in trouble now. And because Hilkiah read that and humbled himself before the Lord, look at verse 19. You can read the rest of the passage. Verse 19, because thine heart was tender and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and has rent thy clothes and went before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers. And he tells them what? Some good things will result from that. You see how those things in the past are meant to comfort us, and it comforts us by saying, you know what? They got away from the Word of God, and it just caused nothing but trouble. Don't let it happen to you. Renew your mind day by day. Be like a Berean. Study your Bible every day to see whether these things are so. And I know you do that. Look at Ephesians 3. take a look at Ephesians 3 and this goal that Paul had. And if we can just catch a glimpse of that, and I know that's why you're involved in this ministry, because you have the same hope, Ephesians 3:9. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Make all men see. I'll be happy with a half a dozen. All men see. Wow, what a goal. And he had a big goal in mind. God wants all men to be saved. Come to the knowledge of the truth. How's it going to happen? Gospel of the grace of God is the only way. One mediator between God and man, who? A man, Christ. That's it. Preach the word, preach the Lord. Don't let anything stop you. Don't let anything discourage you, even yourself. Enjoy your salvation day by day. Keep preaching. Don't get discouraged. Don't let anything get between you and the word of God. Does push that away and just get back on track. Renew your minds day by day, and then you'll enjoy that verse that we said there in Philippians 4. The peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds through whom? Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks for this time we've had together. Appreciate your word and the stability it can bring to our minds and the peace and comfort. You're a God of patience, God of comfort. Help us to just enjoy the scriptures each and every day. To take them and build them up in our hearts and minds, and help us to share them with others, with our families, those that we know. Time is short. Help us to take that time we have left, whether it be a day or till the rest of our life, to just continue to preach the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.